Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Businessman Dennis O'Brien has reopened the debate on remote working, and he's described it as, you know, something that has destroyed Ireland's work ethic. He says it's compromised productivity, and he claimed that our reputation as a place to do business is at risk. You know, that working from home is a threat to the economy because it's caused a loss of competitiveness, energy, creativity and ideas. Neil McDonnell is the CEO of ISME. Neil is with me on the line today. Has he a point, Neil?
I certainly believe he does, Andrea, and good afternoon to you and your listeners. It's obviously not across the board because there are businesses, many operating in cloud businesses or internet businesses that are their actual entire back office is predicated on out of office and work from home. You know, they actually don't have offices. But the productivity for them is designed in. For a lot of other businesses, and look, Andrew, we've been talking about this since the pandemic, really, and we'll probably be talking about it again next year. But in a lot of other businesses, it's extremely hard to track productivity of people. And also bear in mind that a lot of the people we would represent in ISME are in the services sector, and you know, work from home for all our the back office services, all our back office activity is impossible. And I'm talking about things like retail, hospitality, nursing homes, childcare, but also in professional activities such as collaborative activity, design, engineering, architecture, where people actually work far better when they're in the one room on the one task.
So, like, the idea that we've brought in, obviously, legislation around this, Neil, that as of March, was it February of last year, all staff have a legal right to request to work from home. Like, it's interesting when you think that, you know, one of the country's most well-known businessmen thinks that this is actually affecting the country's reputation, that it's a real potential loss to our competitiveness because of this.
Yes, and I can completely understand how you would feel that. And it's also very important. One of the major failings that has been represented to us by businesses that have a work from home or a hybrid solution is the interpersonal skills, the communication skills. And I was at a very interesting presentation last year in Limerick where a financial services house said on hiring new recruits, now we're talking about school or college leavers, that irrespective of qualifications, the employer went straight to the bottom of the CV, and if they didn't see a pub, restaurant, hotel or bookie as part of work experience for that person, they wouldn't hire them purely on the basis of interpersonal experience. So your ability to converse and deal with another human being is absolutely core to the work relationship. And, you know, work from home, especially if someone has started that at a young age, it is very difficult to develop those interpersonal skills on a professional basis.
Laura Bambrick is the social policy officer with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Laura, is working from home hindering our competitiveness and our ability to do business?
Well, the evidence wouldn't suggest it. Like, if we look at the numbers of job creation, the numbers of people in the workforce, we've never had so many people working. If we look at our income tax receipts and our VAT receipts, we've never had so many people earning and so many people spending. But that's not to say that there isn't some legitimacy to the arguments that was made, because we have to face facts that change can be scary for people. It can be scary if you're a CEO, if you're a middle manager, or if you're just an individual employee. And what we are seeing here is seismic change in how we work. This is a once in a century event. This is similar to when we had assembly lines coming into the factory floor, or when we had typing tools being replaced by our personal computers, and more recently by by our phones. And unlike those big changes in how we worked, they happened gradually over years and decades. The move to remote working happened overnight.
And it's a huge move, Laura, because we have the second highest rate of remote working in the EU. We're after Finland.
We do. And so some context for that. When we say we have the second highest, four in five people are doing the type of job, as Neil mentioned there, that the type of jobs they're doing cannot be done remotely. They have to be done in the employer's workplace. But that does mean that like over 20% of people are doing some remote, and the vast majority of those are doing hybrid work, some days at home or in a hub near to home, and other days of the week in the employers. But the reason why Ireland is a lead in Europe on the numbers of people working some of the week remotely is an indication of how well our economy is working. Because we have high-end, high-value jobs, we're part of what Elon Musk would describe as the lanyard or the laptop class. Now, if we were still working in the fields or the factory floor, we couldn't do those jobs. So it's a real indication of our competitiveness that we have the ability to offer more workers a hybrid arrangement.
I know, Laura, and I hear it from people and I see it in texts and emails that, you know, come in from listeners anonymously here to the show, and they'll tell you all sorts of stories about the stuff that they're up to when they're working from home. I mean, even anecdotally, right? The weather has been absolutely fantastic. I very, very rarely drive into work, but I had to for reasons yesterday morning and today. And the weather was good. The sun is shining. And I can tell you the traffic was totally reduced compared to days in previous weeks. I mean, the weather's good. People are working from home.
Well, they're also on annual leave. We're in May, Andrea, so it is time. And the Irish weather, as you mentioned, you know, when the sun shines, you're right to take some annual leave off. But regardless of that, you will always have people that need more management than others. Mm-hmm. And are you saying you're to be like the school teacher, that you give everybody homework because one person was play acting? So are you to take that work-life balance away from everyone because you're a bad manager? You cannot manage one person or two people. So the response to that isn't removing remote working. It's manage your workforce better.
Well, Anna's got in touch to tell me that her husband works remotely. He's working from home 5 days a week. He goes to the gym during work hours, breaks galore, honestly works about four solid hours a day, and he gets away with it. As an employer, though, I'd never let anybody work from home. This texter tells me that the graduates are way behind where they should have been compared with graduates from 5 years ago. I don't know if that is that in terms of their interpersonal skills or their productivity. I don't know. This listener says, I'm working from home 4 days a week and I'm far more productive. I've no distraction, no chit chat. I enjoy my one day in the office, but working from home is a far better option for the majority. I have to say, I'd absolutely hate it. And I definitely wouldn't be anywhere near as productive working from home on my Todd as I am in the office. I know each to their own, but definitely wouldn't suit me. Damien McCarthy is the CEO and co-founder of the HR Buddy. Damien, what's your opinion on this? You know, as Dennis O'Brien describes it, is working from home a load of nonsense?
Well, I suppose the one thing that I would say, and I think the lads have alluded to this as well, is that you can't just, I suppose, you know, give a broad stroke of a brush kind of to be pro-remote working or anti-remote working. Look, we live in a more complex world of work now. To a certain extent, it's a success because there's better life-work balance, and in turn, I suppose a lot of organisations achieve, you know, better engagement and productivity through their people. But of course, as in any situation, there are some workers who take advantage. I suppose they become more distant from their work colleagues, their communication difficulties. In some instances, it's badly managed, which has been alluded to as well. And I suppose I think the big mistake is to kind of, you know, with one broad stroke of a brush, completely dismiss remote working. But is what Dennis O'Brien said completely wrong? No, it's not. He's most definitely right, I suppose, in a minority of cases. But what I would also say is that from a competitiveness point of view, we're an island nation. So actually remote working and working from anywhere is very, very important to an awful lot of organisations because we need that connectivity. And, you know, there has been a tight labour market in which an awful lot of organisations have gone outside the country for skills over the last number of years. And we've seen changes in with regards to work permit applications and so on as well, which is needed for our economy. And that wouldn't have been possible without remote working and, you know, the work from anywhere style of things since COVID.
Yeah, like it's. I don't think anyone's suggesting that we scrap it in its entirety. But the point, I suppose, I would make about this, Damien, it's not that long ago we were talking on this show about elements, departments within the civil service looking for staff to come back in, not 5 days a week, but instead of maybe working, I think the suggestion was they were maybe working 3 days a week from home, that they might have to come in an additional day, that they'd only do 2 days working from home, and they didn't want it. Staff saying no, like surely there has to be a level of compromise with your employer. Sure, they're the people employing you.
Yeah, well, I think it's an important point to make, Andrea, that like employers are in control here. And I think what, you know, has happened is that when employers are looking to take control, that they're, you know, straight away being shouted at by unions and so on with, you know, really kind of ridiculous insinuations that, you know, employees should see it as a red flag and this kind of thing. Employers are in control of their organisations. They're entitled to place workers where they want to place them. And I suppose an awful lot of people have to grow up and realise that. And, you know, we can debate these things all you want, but at the end of the day, I think an awful lot of the mistakes that have been made by organisations is that they have been afraid to tackle poor performing remote workers. And go back to the point there where you give everyone homework, which is a good point, you know, when one pupil does something wrong in school. That's a very good point. I mean, it's a more individualised complex workplace now, so you must tackle it individually.
Larissa Feeney is the CEO of Kinnor, and you're a fully 100% online accountancy business, Larissa. Like, how do we get this balance right?
Hi, Andrea. I think it depends very much on the industry, doesn't it? I mean, for us, as you say, we're 100% remote. It works well for us. It works for our clients. It works for our team. Our team are highly qualified professional individuals. We can trust them to do the job, and they're measured based on outputs. So for us, it's very clear. That doesn't apply to all industries or sectors, of course. And each business owner, including those in the public sector, have to decide what's right for their business. But ultimately, it's about the customer. So if it works for the customer, then why wouldn't it work for the business? And the only reason it wouldn't work for the business is if there's a lack of management, a lack of control, a lack of accountability, and all those feature in whenever remote work doesn't work.
But do you find that? I mean, surely in your time in the business, Larissa, over the years, you know, there's bound to be maybe one or two staff members at some point that, you know, maybe the whole idea of working from home allows for productivity to slip in some way. How do you manage that then if you're a fully remote business?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely been a feature, Andrea. And we've had to work very hard on our recruitment processes to only recruit people who are suitable to remote working, because it doesn't work for everybody. And you've mentioned yourself it wouldn't work for you. And if it doesn't work, then if, you know, Kinnor isn't the employer for you, there are plenty of employers who will ask you to come into the office. So we've had to work very hard on our own recruitment processes to only recruit the right people. And when we've had issues, and of course we've had issues, we've had to deal with them very quickly. One of your other speakers spoke there about lack of control and lack of, you know, performance management in remote working organisations or hybrid working organisations. And we have to tackle that very, very quickly. But I mean, that's done. That's part of our culture, because if somebody isn't performing, the lack of performance and lack of outputs are highlighted very, very quickly.
Yeah, a text here from a listener who tells me that in our business, all of our senior managers started working from home during COVID. They never came back, and they've actually, those that are left in the office have the total run of the place. You see, that's sort of my point on this. The days that all of the managers are out, and I hear it talking to friends that work from home, you know, that are working from home somewhat now as well, the days that everybody in management aren't in the office, it is, it's like school, it's like the teacher's out for the day. You know, and there is a total different vibe within the office whenever that happens. This listener tells me, I love being able to work remotely, but I am guilty of taking the mick when working from home. I'm sitting in the sun right now, reading my book, listening to you. I probably worked about 45 minutes work yesterday. That's how much I did. And I'm absolutely flying it, says this listener. Harriet is on the line. Harriet, you're an employer. Do you think, is working from home a load of nonsense? Do you think it is working? What's your thoughts?
Well, in my industry, we're in design and manufacturing. Obviously, you can't work remotely because you wouldn't be able to fit the machines into anybody's house. Mm. And even our office staff, who are technical and accounts, everything is hooked into production. So a lot of it is collaborative. It's face-to-face. You know, you might have a day where you might be up and down onto the floor from the accounts because everything is related to the production line. So usually people are meeting face-to-face. So for the likes of us, I have no problem with a private business saying, you know, and I agree with a lot of what all the other contributors have said, you know, all individual pieces of it. My issue is, say, as from a manufacturing business, we rely heavily on supply chain. And a lot of our supply chain might be big multinationals where we will get our raw materials from. And if in those big multinationals, they can have people working remotely. But we have found since COVID that a lot of the response time is down. A lot of, even from public bodies that you would take, for instance, get an answer to something, a query, even down to accounts, you might get a query. And usually the public bodies here, the civil service, excellent, always great response times. But for SMEs in particular, the response times are actually pivotal to them running their supply chain, their whole business as such. So where I find an issue is, and I've spoken to plenty of people, and it does work. Like there are people out there that are very happy working and they're very productive because they're actually, they would have been that way involved in when they were in the office, and they might be in the office one day a week. But unfortunately for people like us, we find that we are having more and more issues, even down to shipping. You might be dealing with a very large shipping company. You need a response, because if I'm shipping something out to the United States, I have to keep everybody in the loop. And they're very large orders, very, very expensive items. The thing what people aren't discussing is, and for, you know, I mean, if you look at Ireland in particular, like 99.8% of all employees in this country work for SMEs. And then that's obviously divided down by small, medium, micro workers. So depending on the industry that you're in, and it does work for certain industries, but then those industries that are taking supplies from those industries might not find it working because they're not getting a response time.
Yeah, it definitely works in some sectors. There's no question about that. But I think, you know, like, it's hard to get the balance right. And if your employer wants you back in the office, if they can give you legitimate reasons as to why they want you back in the office, I think it's very hard and very difficult to argue with that if it's a case that they can prove that you're not pulling your weight at all. This listener tells me, I've been working from home since the pandemic. I moved out of Dublin. I bought a house for half the price. I still kept my job. If my employer called me back to the office, I'd now have a 4-hour commute. So it's impossible. The world is changing. Stop preaching to people that they should return to the office again. This listener says, trust is a huge part of a healthy, balanced workplace. Staff can benefit from remote working, and non-performance is obvious whether the staff are working in the office or not. Marco makes the point that working from home is an absolute joke, especially in the civil service. You only have to look at how many people are walking dogs between 2 and 3 p.m. in the afternoon during work hours, and just look at how busy the cafes are Monday to Friday, according to Marco.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.